ELC Radio.
God is going to cause you to change, and he's going to cause you to take your promised land, but you got to quit looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. Come on, somebody. God is thinking peace of you and not evil. That when he thinks about your life, he's not mad at you. The strongest people are people that understand togetherness. All throughout your life, you're on this journey to go from me to we.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Haggai 1, 3 through 9. We're not doing a series this month. We're just kind of doing what I call one-offs. And that's where I'm just kind of coming from my spirit and just trying to hear from God about the new year and help equip you with some things that I believe God is speaking to us. Because really, it's not just even stepping into a new year. It's stepping into a new decade. And that's big. It's a new block of 10 years of your life. And, you know, it's been said so many times, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Well, it is how you start. Now, understand, finishing is very important too. But how you start is very important. And anybody that's ever ran in a race knows you can lose or blow the whole thing if you don't start right. Amen? And so starting is important as well. And so there's just some things in my spirit that I just want to bring to the body of Christ, to you guys in this house, and encourage you in some of these things so that you're positioned for the next 10 years of your life. Amen? Amen. No, I didn't get enough amens on that. I said, so you can be positioned for the next 10 years of your life. Amen. Now, we're living in some scary times. I know as we got up today, my wife and I were talking about the earthquakes that are in Puerto Rico. And I know we have people here that have family members that are on that beautiful island and in that nation. And we are praying for them. They just keep getting rocked, hit after hit with earthquakes. And then we have people here that have family members in the Philippines where this volcano, they were evacuating up to all the villages around that area there. And some of our friends were reporting that there was ash on their cars in Manila. It's only about 60 miles outside of Manila. These things are scary. They're earthquakes, there's volcanoes, and then we got the rumors of war. And if you're on social media, the last couple weeks, people have been hashtagging World War III because, oh man, Trump is going to take us into this and that. And these are wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. And Matthew 24 talks about all this stuff. Guys, it's a scary time. But we got to understand this. As believers in these last days, we've got to make sure that we're putting first things first. Amen. Amen. So let's look at the book of Haggai right here, and then we're going to just jump right in. Haggai is one of the prophets in the Old Testament, and in this chapter here, he is speaking to the people of God about an issue that is happening, and I believe this is a prophetic word for us in this day. It says this, "Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.'" Look at your neighbor and say, "Consider your ways." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now for the anointing to preach and pull down strongholds. And I pray right now, Lord, that this just doesn't be a message that we file away in our little brain that, you know, keeps messages, I've heard this before, I've heard that. Let there be a prophetic anointing in the house today. Let he who has an ear, let him hear. And I pray, Father, for the anointing to pierce the heart of every person that is here so that we can take inventory of our lives. Father, I pray that the Spirit of the Father be in the house so we would receive this word as sons from a father, receiving it with grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So what I want to talk to you about is considering your ways. Consider your ways is my title. And the book of Haggai is an amazing story. It's a short chapter, only a couple of chapters in that book. You want to feel real good about yourself, go read Haggai, read two chapters and walk out. I read a whole chapter of the Bible today. And it's a great chapter, but what it talks about in this book is the prophet having to come to the people of God and challenge them. Now, how many of you know we need to be challenged from time to time? Yeah. It's real easy to just fall into grooves, fall into routines, and we lose sight of what's important. Life is trying to get your attention. And so many times when we fall into routines of getting up on Monday morning, going to work, coming home tired, having a little bit of time with the family, going to bed, and doing it all over again. We go from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday to Friday. And in that, we've got, you know, things that pepper our schedules like baseball practice or, you know, soccer tryouts or this event or that event. And then our lives just begin to be this cycle of getting up, going to work, seeing our kids, if that's for some of us, and then going to bed and doing it all over again. And we get into this cycle to where it literally steals the very purpose of God from our life. Yeah. And so the Word of God has to come along sometimes and kind of check us and kind of shake us out of this zombie-like existence that we sometimes fall into. And this isn't something new. This is something that even in the Old Testament, when they served God, they fell into routines and ruts. They lost their focus of what it meant to be the people of God. And I believe we're in a time in America where most Christians have lost their focus on God. And so the word of the Lord comes this morning to say this: consider your ways. Consider your ways. And so we read in Haggai here, the prophet comes and he brings this word and he says to them, is it time for you all yourselves to dwell in your nice houses and the temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have, listen to this next part. He says, now you have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them in a bag with holes. Now, thus says the Lord of hosts, again, consider your ways. And then he gives this instruction. He says, now go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple. Now, what is this talking about here? Well, in this day, what was happening is the people of God were forgetting they were the people of God. The people of God were just throwing themselves into their individual lives. All they cared about was their own house, their own home, their own kids. And I know that sounds real humble. That sounds like, you know what, I don't care about nothing. As long as me and mine, we're taken care of, I'm good. I'm straight. Everything's good. Do you know what God calls that? Disobedience. Because it was never all about you. Now, what I just described to you is the American way. Our culture is so self-absorbed that one of the highest activities that we have is taking selfies. Did you know the average millennial, not picking on millennials, I love you, I'm down for you. But listen to this, the average millennial that say, a survey has said, that they will take 30 pictures of themselves to capture the one. So for every selfie that you see, there's 29 that didn't make the cut. Tell your neighbor, he ain't talking about me. He ain't talking about me. But we sit, we live. Don't lie in church, though. Don't lie in church. If you can't say that, then don't say that. But listen, we live in a self-absorbed culture. There's never been a culture that where people hype themselves up more than this culture. You know, the Bible says we're not supposed to promote ourselves. God promotes. But have you ever got on social media? People promote themselves. I am this, I am that, and this. And it's just the culture of it. So much so that if we're not careful, listen now, it becomes normal. But can I just tell you, when you become a son or a daughter of God, it's about the family. It's about family. And we live in a generation right now that doesn't understand that word family. We live in a generation of broken families. We don't understand the concept of family. But anybody here that has ever grown up in a family structure understands this. You don't always get what you want. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many had some brothers and sisters? In a family structure, you can't please everybody. Amen? One of the toughest things about going on vacation is just that. Trying to make sure it's a fun experience for all the kids. But one kid likes this. The other one likes that. This one likes this over here, and the other one can't stand that other thing. But what do we learn to do in family structures? We learn to compromise. We learn a mentality that is so valuable, and that is this. It's not about you. Now listen, moms and dads have to learn it too, right? We got to learn it too. That's why I've seen Finding Nemo 20 times. Maybe more than that. I've seen it probably. But it's not because I love it. Don't put me in that box. That ain't me. That ain't me. I'm not thinking, oh, yes, it's on again. It would be because my 4-year-old son would get so much enjoyment watching it. So much enjoyment. And it's like, okay, guess we're watching that again. Why? Because even I had to understand, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. But we live in a generation that's lost that. Israel was having this problem. And they had forgotten that they belonged to the family of God. And they had made life all about them. Their job, their finances, their gifts, their talents. It was just about them. Take care of my family, I'm good. And all the while, the Bible says that the temple, the house of God, was in shambles. Now, what does the house of God represent? It represents God's purposes and God's heart. What was happening? The people were all about themselves and not about what was on God's heart. It goes deeper than a building in that time. It was about God wanting to be worshiped. God wanting connection. And people had let the temple go to ruins while they were enjoying good lives. And what I've just described to you is much of American Christianity, Western Christianity. That's why in the last 20 years, we've had movements like prosperity, gospel preaching, which has gone into extremes that drew great crowds because it was always about bless me, bless my business. You know, bless me. How can my family get theirs? How can we be blessed? And I am not against blessing. Guys, that is a big part of the abundant life, is that you and I are blessed, that poverty is killed and crucified, and that we live in abundance. But the heart of some of the air of that message made it about you. And the most popular messages in that era were, how can my marriage get blessed? How can my business be blessed? How can I be blessed? When really, The heart of being a son and daughter of God is this: God, not my will, but yours be done. And in that, I trust that if I give you my will, you're such an amazing God, your will's better than mine. So my will might be to prosper here, but if I give you that, God, you'll prosper me here. But there has to be an exchange. And this was what was happening in that time. So the prophet comes and he rebukes the people and he says, guys, you got this all wrong. It's not about you. It's not about you getting yours. We live in a time where, and I've said this many times before, and this is what has been such a big blessing, being in a school for the past 9 years. It's been hard, but it's been a blessing. You want to know why? Because the majority of us that are a part of this church, y'all ain't here for the smoke, the lights, and the screens. Y'all ain't here because we're doing pizza parties and giving out ice cream to your kids every week. Y'all ain't here because we got Chuck E. Cheese in the back, you know? You don't get that crowd here. But can I just tell you, they're coming when we move over there. And that's okay. They can come. And we're going to believe God is going to change their hearts. Because you want to know the majority of what Christians do? They pick a church based on their needs. They go places based on how does this fit into my world. And guys, can I just tell you, what you get out of the thing is only part of the puzzle. Now, you should get something out of the thing. That's the way God is. That's why we don't go to dead churches. That's why we just don't, you know, there should be something in it for you. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there's a whole nother premise, and that is this: what's God's will? And Israel had gotten away from it. Maybe you in here today have gotten away from it. Maybe your whole existence, the whole reason you come to church is because you need something. You know how many people I prayed for up here at the altar because they had a court date on Monday? I could, countless times. Don't see them again after that either. Don't even know what happens. They get off, they don't come back. They go to jail, they don't come back. There's so many times we just go after God hard when we're in need. Because our world's been affected now because our world is about us. But here's what Haggai is trying to tell the people. Consider your ways. Why? Because if you continue on that path, you'll continue to have the life you have. And he goes on to list some things. And I want you to check out these points here. These are the conditions of the average Christian. The conditions of the average Christian, all right? Number one, he says this: you have sown much, but you bring in little. You sow much, but you bring in little. He tells Israel this. He goes, consider your ways, because this is how things are. You're doing all the right things, but you're not bringing in much. And guys, you know this is what it is for most of American Christians? It's religious works. It's works without revelation. It's sacrifice without obedience. Man, and some of you know it. You grew up in church and you remember seeing hermana so-and-so, sister so-and-so. They were always at church. They were always around the things of God, and their family was a wreck. None of their kids loved the Lord. None of their kids ever had money. They never had money. But yet they were always in church. Always around. What is that, guys? It's people who sow much but have little to show for it. That is a condition. That is a condition of being a person who has not put God first. And I see it all over the place. You know, one of the blessings of getting to travel and preach in churches and stuff is I get a good gauge on what is going on in the body of Christ. And I see it everywhere. I see people doing a lot of stuff, but not reaping the benefits. And much of it is because they do it out of religious works. If you serve in a department here, understand this: you don't get extra points for it. God don't love you more because you're an usher. God don't love you more because you're on the praise team. We don't do it to get that. We do it because of that. He loves me, so I give him everything. I don't give him everything so that he'll love me. But did you know what? People do. people do. And those are the people that scream burnout. Those are the people that get tired of serving. Those are the people, because they're expecting a big, big payoff at the end of the thing, and it doesn't come. In the way they want, I should say. It comes, but not in the way they think it should come. And that's because people serve God out of religious works. We're not going to be a church like that. Amen. Amen. We're not going to manipulate people, get involved. But if, or, you know, God, you get extra points if you go to the prayer meeting or da-da-da. The real people, no. God loves you, period. Yes. Period. God's blessed you, period. Get involved because of that. It also talks about works without revelation. Guys, we take a lot of time to give you explanation. So you're not the Christian that when somebody at your job says, hey, why do you give so much? Why do you give all your money to the church? You don't answer like this, because my pastor says to. Because then you make us look like some weird cult. Oh, come on, somebody, you know it's true. Hey, man, how come you don't go out on Friday nights? Because my pastor says I shouldn't go to the club. Really? Get a revelation. Get a revelation. Hey, man, how come you don't be sleeping with girls and sleeping around and stuff? Because in my church, my pastor... Don't sound like a dumb weirdo. Get a revelation. Know what it says in the Bible about premarital sex. Know what it says in the Bible about getting drunk. Know what it says in the Bible about getting high. Uh-oh, somebody, I felt that in the room, huh? Yeah. It talks about getting high in the Bible? Hmm? Had that Scooby-Doo thing. Hmm? The Bible talks about being sober-minded. Yes. Anything that affects your sobriety is not good for you. Yes. So works without revelation. So we got people doing stuff but don't know why. Guess what? You won't reap the benefits. I see how hard so much of our church serves. I see how hard my ushers get here at 8 and they're setting up and our worship team playing, setting up, breaking down. Man, they're doing all this stuff. My heart and my wife's heart is this, that you be blessed, that you reap, that when you sow, you bring in much. That's our prayer. But you know what? You got a part in that. You got to understand why you do what you do. So here's what we do. We give classes, first steps. And you know what first steps is all about? Why we do what we do. I know they started off today, and I hope those of you that have never gone through it have go to it. If you didn't, you can go next week. It's from 9 to 9:45. Jesse teaches that. It's a great teacher. And what is that about? Giving you revelation so that this ain't you, so that you don't sow a lot and reap little. Our prayer is this, and this is how it should work. When you work for God, when you serve God, your life gets elevated. Did y'all know why that's we named the church Elevate Life? Because when God comes into your life, it should elevate. It should elevate. Do inventory. Consider your ways. Is it elevating? No, it's not. Something's wrong with this church. Really? It's us. It's my fault. It's the youth pastor's fault. No, I'm trying to help you today. Consider your ways. Maybe it's because you're working without revelation. Maybe it's because you're sacrificing without obedience. What does that mean? What is sacrificing without obedience is? Well, 1 Samuel 15:22 talks about this, that obedience is better than sacrifice. It's better than sacrifice. You know what that means? That means God cares more about you doing what he tells you than how much you serve. Because you know why some people serve so hard? Because they know in their heart they don't listen to God. And they're hoping, well, I'm not really living all the way, but God, I'm doing all this. So some people that do the most, there's a movement like this right now in the earth with people that are so consumed about the homeless, so consumed about social justice. We've got to do something for all the children of the world. We've got to do something for the homeless that are sleeping on the streets. Listen, we do.
Yeah.
We do. That's important. But you know what's more important is, or let me say just as important as that, because that is important. But you know what God's after in your life?
Yeah.
Obedience to Him.
Yeah.
Once you get obedience to Him, let's tackle that.
Yeah.
But you know what some people will do? They'll say, I can't stand church. I don't go to church. I don't know about all that God, but I am going to sure help all these people over here. And they think that God is going to look at that and go, well, man, you're amazing.
Right.
Never mind that you have not followed one thing that I've spoken to you to do. Never mind that. I'm just going to go off of these things. So we have the Bible that tells us to obey is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
So I got a prophetic word for some of you that like prophetic words in here. People that like to get prophecies and stuff. Amen. You already got a good one for you right now. Ready? Here we go. Thus says the Lord, obey. You don't need another prophetic word. You know what you need to do? You need to do that one thing that God's been trying to get you to do for 2 years.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so glad. I'm so glad as a youngster, as I started out, I did the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Did the hard stuff. I did the hard stuff. We've got people that come and get saved, and anything hard, they want to walk around it.
Right.
Anything hard, well, I'm not going to do that. How long does God got to tell you to live for Him? How long is He going to, you know, you come to church every Sunday, but you're living with somebody that's not your wife. You come to church every Sunday, but you're still sleeping around. You know what His word says. You come to church every Sunday, but the tithe is still like an issue. Guys, you're doing all this stuff when God really just wants you to obey some of the basic things of the Word of God. Just obey. Tell your neighbor, just obey. Because the other side of it is, you come to church, you do all the stuff, but you have little to show for it. Number two, another condition of the average Christian that we get from Haggai chapter 1. It says this, you eat, but you never have enough. You know what that means? You're never satisfied. Never satisfied. You think that career is going to get you satisfaction? It ain't. You think that business taking off like you want is going to satisfy you? It ain't. You think getting married is going to satisfy you? It ain't. You think getting a boyfriend or a girlfriend is going to satisfy you? It ain't. Do I need to keep going?
No.
Talk to somebody who has those things. They'll tell you the exact same thing. Why don't we learn from our movie stars and our people in social media that, you know, have millions but still commit suicide? Why don't we learn from these supermodels that are amazing looking beautiful women but still hate themselves and, you know, have eating disorders and stuff like that? You want to know why that stuff exists? Because you can't be fulfilled by those things. And we've got Christians. They eat, but it's never enough. They're never satisfied. But let's take it deeper than that. Because eating in the Bible always talks about doctrine. Food talks about doctrine. And so I like to say many Christians are like this. They're eating, they're learning, but it's never enough. It's never enough. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. This is in the New Testament. And in the New Testament here, this is an amazing scripture. It's talking about, I believe, our generation. It's describing characteristics of a generation in the last days. And look what it says. But mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, taking selfies. No, I'm just joking. Lovers of money. Got to get the bag. Got to get the bag. I got to get the bag. Got to get the bag. Boom, gotta get the bag, gotta get the bag. That's your anthem. That's your theme song. That's it. Look at lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Let's keep going. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, going on Facebook, talking crazy about people that you don't even know, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited. Look at this one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's a big one. You know how much pressure we're under as pastors? Because we know this, if we don't give you enough pleasure, people will leave and go to another church that will, you know, I got friends and we make pastors jump through hoops. People got to spend thousands on lights and smoke and this and that and to entertain because people love pleasure more than they love God. I'm not against any of those things. Matter of fact, I can't wait to get in the building to get some of it. But that's not why we're there. Let's keep going. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they look like Christians, but deny its power, have no power. Look what it says here, guys. Have nothing to do with such people. Don't cool with them. Don't chill with them. Get away from them. That's what it says. I didn't write this. Tell your neighbor, Pastor didn't write it. Don't be mad at him. Look what it says here. Oh, this is a good one right here for some of our tippers and tappers in the building. Some of our creepers. So I creep in church. Yeah. See, some of you don't know that goes on. Does. Look at this. Look at this. It says about this generation. They're the kind who worm their way into the homes and gain control over gullible women. Tell your other neighbor, Pastor didn't write that. Pastor didn't write that. Come back next week. He didn't write that. He didn't write that. They're the kind who worm into the homes and gain control over gullible women. Gullible women. You know what that word gullible means? You'll believe anything. Believe anything. Look what he does to those women here too. Over control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Here's what it says about this whole generation. This is what I was trying to get to. They're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there's a whole generation of stuff going on. He says, get away from those people. And then he says this, be careful because they worm their ways into women's houses and sleep with them. And they make victims gullible women. Can I speak to our single women for a minute? Can I just be a dad to you real quick? Don't sleep with people that aren't your husband. Just don't do it. You'll lose. It's not good for you. You don't come out of that scenario on top. You're not going to come out feeling better about yourself. And if that's what you got to do to get a man, you're doing it wrong. Because why do you want a man that cannot dominate his own desires? Do not end up with a man that can't control his sex drive. Men, and we've been talking about it in Kingsman, we know that sex drive is strong. We got to control it. We got to get a hold of it. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is all about. But ladies, don't be a gullible woman. Don't be a gullible woman. Amen? Amen? Even Beyonce was trying to tell you, get a ring on it first. If he likes you, he should have put a ring on it. I see you. Amen? Can we move on now? All right. So my point is, there's a generation of believers. They're always learning, but have no truth in them. Consider your ways. We know all the sermons. We read all the books, but we don't change. We sit in the service and we critique the sermons. Oh, I've heard this before. Oh, he said that before. Oh, I know this. Then you got the book junkies. You guys know the book junkies? I love reading books. I read a lot of books. But if I read a book, here's what I always got to understand. If I read this book, I got to do what's in it. So I'm very careful about what I read. My wife will tell you, she suggested books. I go, I can't read that right now. Right? That's happened. She's like, I'm trying to help you. I said, I know, but I'm dealing with something. If I read that book, I'm dealing with this. And that's because it's true. I try to approach a book that if I read it, I am now responsible to do it. But you got book junkies. Oh, I'm going to read this new book. Oh, so-and-so's got a new book. Oh, I'm going to read this book. Read this book. And we're book, 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 book. Oh, I read that book. I read that book, but didn't do none of it. Didn't do none of it. That's what happens to people who don't consider their ways. We begin to just want to learn stuff. And so we got people in church, Christians in church all over the world today, learning things, but then not doing it. Guys, that's a problem. And Haggai called him out and said, hey, you're going to be like this. You're going to eat, but never have enough. You'll always be learning, never come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me keep going. Number three, the third condition of the average Christian is this. You drink, but you're not filled. You know what that speaks of? Drinking new wine in the New Testament speaks of prayer and worship. Did you know you can pray and you can worship, but never be filled with his presence? So it's happening in churches all over the place. That's what's happening to some of us here. Do you know how precious the presence of God is when we're worshiping and we're praying? It should change you. It should change you. It should impact you. But yet some of us, we're immune to it. That's dangerous. It's the equivalent of drinking, but never being filled. One translation says this, it's the equivalent of drinking, but never getting drunk. God wants to get you drunk. Yeah. Off his presence. But we go to conferences, we get hands laid on us, never changed. Guys, that's not supposed to be that way. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 15, 8 and 9. He says this, these people are near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their songs or their lips, but their heart's far from me. And then it says this major statement, and in vain they worship me. You know what the word vain means? To no effect. In other words, they don't get what they should be getting out of my worship. And this is the condition of the average Christian. Worship should impact you. It should rock you. There's no way you can just sit there like some of us do. Close your eyes. No, it should impact you. Amen? Amen. Let's keep going. Number four. Another characteristic of the average Christian is you clothe yourself, but you're not warm. You clothe yourself, but you're not warm. What is this talking about? It's talking of clothing always speaks of identity. What are we identifying with? You got to stop identifying with the world. Amen? Amen. We got to love the world, but you got to know whose side you're on. You say, well, Pastor, you don't say it like it's not us against them. I know it's not us against them. It's us and them, but who do you identify with? Are you a son and daughter of God? Or are you secret agent Christian? Come on, y'all know secret agent Christian. They're in your office. You work with them. You have no idea they're Christians until you go to a Christian event and you see them there. And you're like, oh, what are you doing here? And they say these words, oh, this is my church. And you go, you're a Christian. And they say, yeah, but I'm on the tuck. I'm a secret agent Christian, which means this, I don't let anybody know. I live like the world, and I just sneak my way in on Sundays and get around Christian folk. Guys, that's whack. Tell your neighbor that's whack right there. That's called identifying with the world. Now, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, tells a prophecy here that in that day, in the last day, seven women will take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach." This is a prophecy about the end time church, the seven lampstands in the book of Revelation. It talks about the church. The church saying to the bridegroom, Jesus, hey, we're going to eat our own doctrine, which means this: we're going to believe what we want to believe. We're going to wear our own clothing. We're going to have our own identity. Just take away our sins. Don't tell us how to live. Don't be our Lord. Just make sure I make it into those pearly gates. That's end time stuff. And can I tell you what? Some of us live like that. Consider your ways. Amen? Yeah. Consider your ways. Why? That's why your Christianity is whack. It's why it's not working. That's why you learn but never change. That's why you pray and worship but nothing's happening. That's why you put on an identity, but that identity is not warming you. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, so? So we throw ourselves into identities, and you're still empty. The only identity that can fill you is the identity of a son and a daughter, a child of the King. And number five, last one. You earn wages to put in a bag with holes. What does this speak of? It means this: your harvest never lasts. I get tired of seeing believers that are real high one day, real low another. High one day, low another. You see it on there, you know, they go for a week, all their posts are godly posts on social media, then they disappear for a little while, and then they pop up with, you know, a substance in their hand or at a party, and it's up and down, up and down. What is that? Their harvest never lasts. That's not how it's supposed to be, guys. Our heart, we're supposed to, chapter in the Bible talks about we're supposed to be reaping while at the same time planting. Giving, reaping. It's just supposed to be going, boom, 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 boom. But for most believers, our life is just ebbs and flows, up and down. You know, one day we're doing good, next day we're not. Okay, you've got a streak going. You've been in church since the beginning of the year, but February's coming up, and you're gonna fall in love, and you're gonna, you know, that you're gonna want some warmth in that bed next to you, and then we won't see you again. Come on, church. Am I talking to the right folks today? So what is that? What is that? That's your harvest never lasting. Guys, God doesn't want you to live like that. Now, if any of those five things, and this is where you've got to consider your ways. If any of those five things hit home, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Because I don't want to pastor people that aren't getting the benefit of the abundant life. The whole vision for this house is that when you become a part of it, your life elevates. Not because of my wife and I, not because of our team, not because of anything we're doing, other than connecting you to God. And when you connect to God, there's no place to go but up. But you got to consider your ways. And as I said last week, this is the thing you've got to consider. Are you putting God first? Or is your job, your career, your business, your family the center of your universe? If it is, you can come to church. You could be around Christianity. But these five characteristics will always mark your walk with God. And I've seen it. Been in church for 30 years. I see good people never reaping the benefits. I see good people staying in the same state of life. And I say, man, how could this be? They're good people. Good people that haven't learned to put God in his proper place first. Tell your neighbor, consider your ways. So here's what it comes down to, guys. Here's what it comes down to. These three things. What do I got to do? This is what Haggai says to Israel. He tells them this: if you want to fix that, go up to the mountain. What is the mountain in the Bible? The mountain is significant of the presence of God. If any of those five things I said hit home, this is how you fix it. Ready? Real easy. Number one, go to the mountain. Get in the presence of God. Spend time with God. Spend time with him. God will show up, but you got to spend time with him. Now think of what that means. Think of that phrase I just said. Spend time with God. Spending denotes it's going to cost you something. What is it going to cost you? Time. Time. Well, Pastor, I want to pray, but I don't have time. Pastor, I'm just too busy. I say it all the time. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. The price of getting that alone time with God is always going to be time. And so God tells the prophet, tell the people to go to the mountain. Spend time with me. That's what he's saying. Church, spend time with him. Don't let life swallow you up until you go a whole nother week and you ain't even bent your knee. You haven't even cracked open your Bible. You haven't even said one prayer other than praying for your food. Spend time with God. Number two. He said, bring the wood and build the temple. Bring the wood and build the temple. He said, consider your ways. You have all these things. Nothing's happening. You want to change it? Go to the mountain. And when you're in the mountain, here's what he says. Bring wood down for the temple. Wood in the Old Testament is always significant of people, of man. Dead wood many times spoken of the flesh. So what is he saying here? Go into my presence and then go get the wood. Go get the people. Why are we getting the people? To build his house. Christianity is not just about you doing good, you making it to heaven, you getting all your sins forgiven. It's about relationship with God. And once you're in relationship with him, you look at your life and you say, God, am I using all my gifts? Am I using my money? Am I using my abilities to reach your people, to build your house? Can I just tell you, most Christians, not doing it. And that's why their Christianity is whack. Their marriages are just as messed up. Their kids are just as messed up. Our addictions hang on and they stay. Listen, I'm telling you, this is what the prophet told the people. Y'all want to fix this? Go to the mountain, spend time with God, and go get the wood for the temple. And I tell you prophetically here today, you want to go to another level in 2010? You want to have an awesome decade? You want to leave whack Christianity? Spend time with God and get up every day with a mission. I got to get the wood. I got to get the wood. I got to build God's temple. I got to build God's temple, which means this. I got to get people. I got to get people. Why? Because every person you get is a son that God lost. Every person you get to come to church to give their life to the Lord is a child that the Lord lost. Think about it, parents. If you lost your kid and you had friends and you called them up and said, hey, I lost my son at the mall. Will y'all come to the mall and help me look for my son? And all your friends said, nah, I'm good. Hope you find him. Yet we do that to our Father. This is the mandate I'm asking you guys to take in 2010. Spend time with God. 2020. I'm going back in time, y'all. Thinking 10 years, decade, you know. 2020. This is what I'm asking y'all to do. I'm asking y'all to make it a priority to spend time with God. Second thing I'm asking you to do is take on his purposes. Just take them on. He'll bless your business. Don't worry about it. He'll bless your family. That's his job. He's going to make sure you got everything that you need. But what he's asking you to do is put his business above your business. Your business, his business above your business. There's an order to this thing. It's hard. It's hard. But it's not hard for people that understand who God is. It's not hard for people that know God, because we understand that God loves you more than you can love yourself. So I ask you today, before I let you go, consider your ways. This is a message where you got to do some self-examination. But you got to be real honest. Maybe you've gotten away from, you know, doing all you can for His kingdom. Maybe the stress of life has just caused you to be so inward focused. God is saying today, just consider your ways. He knows you got a family. He knows you got a dream. But He's saying, put mine first, and I'll give you everything you need. Matthew 6:33. Let's stand on our feet today. There are so many people in our lives that are waiting to see the real thing. They're waiting to see a church that'll really be about it. They're waiting to see men that'll really be faithful to their wives, really be good husbands. They're waiting to see women that'll submit to their husbands and not boss them around, treat them like kids. Do you know people are watching how you view, how you treat your husband, ladies? Speaks about how you view God. When you post about how dumb your husband is on Facebook. Don't post that. Don't do that. Some witches in here trying to... I ain't even gonna pick it up. Get out of here. I don't need you anymore. People are watching how we treat our wives. People are watching how we treat our kids. They're tired of seeing Christians broke, messed up. Guys, let's be that church. Be that family. Be that single person that's going to do it right. Be that single mom that's going to trust God. Be that single man that lives for God, is a man of God. Consider your ways. Let's pray. Father, this word doesn't come across as something condemning, but yet as an invitation, as an answer. Because some in this house have prayed, God, why isn't things working? Why isn't life getting better? I believe You've answered their question today. Lord, as we put You first, as we spend time in the mountains, as we take up our mission, I believe You're going to cause all these other things to fall into place. Show us, Lord God, how to have a greater desire to reach others. Show us, Lord God, how to listen to Your voice and to always put Your business first above our own. Because Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek Yours first, You will add everything we need unto us. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.